So the title I've given to our evening is Storms and Stillness. And we're going to use as our focus this evening the account from Mark's Gospel of Jesus calming the storm. And I want to start by reading that particular piece of scripture from Mark's Gospel. And as I read it from scripture, I want to see if you can enter into the story. I want you to take time to see if you can picture the scene. So just some background to help us do that. Jesus had had a very busy day teaching, and it was likely that he was exhausted. And crowds at this time were following him everywhere. And as evening approached, he suggested to the disciples that they sail across to the quieter side of Lake Galilee for a rest, basically for some chill time, really, for a rest. And the disciples were no doubt anticipating a gentle crossing and that welcome rest. But of course, we know this heavy squall blew up, which was bad enough, in fact, to start filling that boat that they were in with water. Now, this sort of storm was not uncommon on Lake Galilee. Some of you may have been to Lake Galilee, but Lake Galilee is actually some 600 feet below sea level, and it lies like a basin surrounded by steep mountains. And these storms are caused by sudden inrushes of wind down the narrow valleys, and in no time at all, the tranquil waters of the Sea of Galilee can be whipped up into a frenzy. So this was not an uncommon occurrence. So try picturing the scene, if you can, as you hear Mark's account. Picture the waves crashing over the boat. Imagine the disciples furiously bailing out the water, trying to shout above the noise of the wind and the waves and the creaking of the wood, others battling with the oars. Now, for many years, I've used paintings to help me picture scenes in scripture, and I've often found they've helped bring scripture alive for me. And I love the paintings of an artist called William Hole, who painted around the 1900s, late 1800s, early 1900s. And he actually went to live in Palestine so he could get a feel of the culture and the way of life to help him in his paintings of scenes from the New Testament. And he ended up painting actually about 80 different scenes from the New Testament. And I've used quite a lot of his paintings in services to try and help people picture the scene. The problem is with using paintings, because we're going to look at another painting later on in the service, is paintings can be quite personal. What one person likes, somebody else really doesn't like. So as I say, we're going to show you a couple of paintings, and if they're not helpful, as I say, close your eyes and picture your own scene. So I am aware that these are pictures, paintings that have helped me in the past. So let's just, this is the painting that William Hole painted on reading the scripture from Mark 4, verses 35 to 41, the calming of the storm. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with them. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Jesus said to the raging storm, "Be quiet, be still." So we're just briefly going to ask two questions this evening to do with that calming of the storm incident. So our first question, what meaning did this story have for its first hearers, the people that Mark wrote his account of Jesus' life for? Why did Mark include this story in his writings? So we need a bit of background as to what comparisons would have been sparked off in the minds of those who first heard this story as written down by Mark. 2,000 years ago and more, the sea was quite an important place in people's minds. Sea in ancient mythology symbolized the power of chaos and evil, and so storms were thought to be caused by rebellious powers. In Jewish writings, the sea was described as a dark place of chaos and disorder where evil threatens. Think of the creation story, where God brought creation and order out of chaos and sea. And in the Old Testament, there are many accounts of where the Creator God controls the sea. And Jewish people believed it was only their God who could do this. Psalm 107, we hear accounts of how the Creator God controls the raging of the seas. Psalm 65, Psalm 89 are similar, God controlling the raging sea. So to understand what those first hearers might have thought when they heard this story, we have to take into account all this background knowledge that they were likely to have. So to those who will have first heard or read this story, the sea stood for the powers of evil and chaos, a place where people were really not safe, a place where they were troubled, a place where they were threatened. So hearing this story, the person who could calm the sea, wow, this must have been someone, and people would have taken notice of this story. And educated Jews believed that only God had the power over the wind and sea. So to an educated Jew, anyone who stills a storm, this must be God. You see, this story would have spoken volumes to the early readers. It was such an important story for Mark to include in his writings, as it was saying to those early readers, this man Jesus is God. Only God can calm a raging sea. Let's just turn our attention to a moment to those disciples. It always used to puzzle me why they reacted the way they did to Jesus when he calmed the storm. Let's just briefly revisit what happened. The storm must have been bad, as these were experienced fishermen used to such squall, and that they were obviously scared out of their wits. Basically, they seemed to panic. They woke Jesus, who had been asleep on that cushion. I love that picture of Jesus asleep on a cushion. And their words were short and sharp. Don't you care? Don't you care that we're about to drown? Look at the waves. Jesus sat up and said, quiet, be still. And the water became as calm as a mill pond. So what might you have expected the disciples to say then? I would have thought something like, phew, thanks Jesus, that was a close call. But no, the disciples were actually awestruck. Before they were afraid when the storm was raging. Now it says in verse 41, they were terrified. How odd. They were afraid at the sea, but once the sea was calm, they were terrified. But their reaction does tell us quite a lot about where they were in their journey with Jesus. You see, they would have had much of this background knowledge that we've just mentioned, and I think this is why they were so terrified when Jesus calmed the storm. When Jesus calmed the raging Sea of Galilee, their thoughts will have been, only God can do this. And the thought that Jesus was God terrified them. You see, at this point, we can see how much the disciples really did not get who Jesus was. If they had understood who Jesus was, they would have not been surprised that he calmed the storm. And of course, Jesus could see this, and that's why he said to them, quite exasperated, in verse 40, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? In effect, can't you guys see who I am?" If the disciples had really, really understood who Jesus was, they would have realized that just having Jesus in the boat meant they were safe in spite of the storm. He wanted them to see, for them to see who he really was. He wanted them to have faith in him. He wanted them to trust him. So a second question. What relevance does this all have for us today? Nice story, nice painting we've just seen, but so what? We live 2,000 years later. Can this have any meaning for us today? Well, I believe there's a very deep lesson to be learnt from this stilling of the storm incident, even today. And as well as giving us, in addition to those early readers, vital evidence as to who Jesus is, God, the story also has a hugely important symbolic meaning. And this is what I love about scripture. It can be read on different levels, which I find so exciting. And this is a case here. Have you ever noticed in our language we use words associated with the sea when we are in trouble or in difficulty? And I'm not really sure why, and I take it may be connected with the fact that we are a seafaring nation. Thousands over the centuries have lived off the sea in the UK. But when I sat down and thought about it, I came up with masses of examples. I'm in a spot of deep water. Oh, I feel as if I'm drowning at the moment. Life's a bit stormy at the moment for me. I'm really out of my depth at the moment. Oh, I'm getting that sinking feeling. And we say, sink or swim. Or I'm just managing to keep my head above water at the moment. Or I feel as if I've been put into the deep end. I'm just managing to stay afloat. There are, in fact, loads and loads of examples of how we use reference to sea and water in our language when we're in trouble. And we can say that the storm in this story represents the storm in our lives. And we can be sure that there will be storms in all of our lives. To be a disciple of Christ does not exempt us from the storms. We must not expect everything to go smoothly. There will be sickness. There will be losses, bereavements, disappointments. Have you ever felt like the disciples in that boat? A storm is raging in your life. We in effect look at the boat, the wind, the waves, and we panic, just like those disciples did. Or when things go badly, we are in one of the storms of life. We pray loads, we come to church, but nothing seems to happen. The storm continues to rage in our lives. There are times it seems that God isn't listening. Prayers are not answered. There are times it seems he doesn't care. He seems far away. In fact, he seems to be asleep. Just in the case of the disciples, when they were afraid and panicking and Jesus was asleep on the cushion. Have you got a storm raging in your life at the moment? Do you feel Jesus is sleeping? But we must never get to the point of blaming him for his apparent inactivity. He knows everything. He sees everything. And exactly the same lesson goes for us as those disciples. Jesus is in control, despite appearances. Despite the fact he may appear to be sleeping, he knows best. His timing is everything. He is with us, and we must trust him through our storms. Sometimes I feel Jesus is saying those same words to me that he said to those disciples. I feel he sometimes says to me, Mary, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? In effect, can't you see who I am, Mary, after all this time? Those exactly same words I feel as if he sometimes says to me. Do we really understand who Jesus is? And do we have faith in him through our storms?